Hi everyone, this is Andrea Shear from Superhero Life, and I'm super excited to have Jennifer Lee here. And she is the founder of Artisan Coaching and the best-selling author of The Right Brain Business Plan, which has helped tens of thousands of entrepreneurs, including myself, around the world launch their creative businesses. Her brand new book, Building Your Business the Right Brain Way, Sustainable Success for the Creative Entrepreneur, was just published. And that's why we're here today. I'm so excited for you, Jen.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be talking with you today, Andrea. Thank you.
Well, good. Well, first I want to just kind of start from the beginning a little bit. And what does it mean to build a business the right brain way? And how did you stumble upon it? How did it come to you?
Yeah. Came upon me kind of organically, and actually it was when I made my first Right Brain business plan. This was back in November 2007 when I was participating in Leah Peikin-Kalaitis's Art Every Day Month challenge. I was, you know, doing all these different kinds of art projects, and at the end of the month I'm like, oh, I need to work on my goals for the new year, might as well do it through art. And the first Right Brain business plan was born, and I called it that because I didn't know what else to call it, because it was kind of a vision board, but plan around my business. And that really helped me understand that, wow, using my intuition, my creativity, my emotions, and all of that is actually a great come from place when looking at my business. So it started there. And then, you know, the first book came to be. And then the second book is really helping people go beyond the business plan and help them really grow the business. And what are some of the strategies and tactics to do that? Mm-hmm. But again, approaching it from, you know, a very creative, intuitive, colorful place, so that it's fun and that people actually want to do it rather than it feeling, you know, hard or difficult.
Right. Well, one of the things that just is striking me right now is I've always felt a little shame around not having had a business plan all these years, even though I've had a business that's, you know, been going on for 14 years. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about it in that other way of like visioning and creating even like a Mondo Biondo list or something around your business, it's like, I feel like you're affirming that I actually have had a plan on some level.
Totally. I mean, I know that you have your intentions and your big visions because I know you and I know you dream big.
Yeah.
You know, and all of those things really help hold the container for what you're wanting to create in your life and in your business. And I think us creatives often discount that because we read all the traditional business books and, you know, websites that tell us we need to have it look a certain way. But those are really oftentimes written for like startup companies going for venture capital, or, you know, people going for loans. And for us solopreneurs, you know, sometimes we're just working from our kitchen table, you know, to start off with. And just as long as we know what's important to us, what the vision is, who we're trying to serve and how to do it, that's basically all you need to know, you know.
Yeah, I love that. That just really distills it so beautifully. It's like, what are we trying to create? What kind of impact are we trying to make in the world? What, like those kinds of questions. And actually, something I really loved in your book is you talk about getting clear on your core message. Mm-hmm. And how do you, first, what are some examples of core messages? And then second, how do you figure out what yours is?
Yeah, great question. So some examples, I think Vivian McMaster is an excellent model for really living and embodying a core message. And so for people who don't know her, she, her core message is about be your own beloved. And so she does self-compassion through self-portraiture, and she has e-courses and she's working on a book around it. But it's this whole idea of seeing yourself with love through your own camera. And she has a hashtag for it. She has her website, her courses. So she's always, you know, taking her own selfies, practicing what she preaches around be your own beloved. So she's really living and breathing that message, which I really admire. There's a woman named Laura Burns who's out of Texas, and she's actually one of my Right Brain Business Plan facilitators. And she inspired one of the exercises, actually, because she literally, and I know you've done this too with the Sharpies, you know, writing on your body, but she actually has a tattoo, a huge tattoo across her chest that says Married to Amazement in this really beautiful font. And Yeah, for her, it's about living life to the fullest. I think it's a quote from a Mary Oliver poem, When Death Comes. And so she's her own walking billboard, you know, when she's just...
That is amazing. I saw the photograph in your book, and I mean, it's giving me chills just to hear you talk about it. Yeah, it's this incredible tattoo and an incredible message. And I know that poem. It's like, I'm a bride married to amazement. And wow, what a powerful way to live your message.
Yes, very committed to it as well.
Yeah, exactly. She's got to take it the long haul.
Exactly. And for me, one of them I was playing with. So it's funny because I don't feel like I necessarily have, you know, something that I would want to tattoo on my body like that. Because for me, it's, you know, sometimes it changes. And so I want people to know that's okay too. It doesn't need to be like this thing that's the be all end all. But one that I was playing with recently, it's actually one of the guiding principles in the book, is be uniquely you and embrace, you know, who you are authentically and creatively express that. And, you know, I wrote that across my chest in Sharpie and played around with that. And that was, you know, fun. And I do think that embodies a lot of what my work is about. And I think there's more to it than that. But I think for people wanting to experiment with, what is my core message? The first place to start is trying things out. You know, what are you taking a stand for? What's like something that you're super passionate about that you want people to know? Maybe something that feels wrong in the world that you want to write. I don't know, just something that kind of gets your heart racing a little faster and your palms sweaty, and then actually try it on, which is like why it's fun to do kind of the tattoo thing and play with it to see what it feels like in your skin, and also share it with other people and see how they respond. You know, does it land with them? How do you feel when you're saying it? Because if it doesn't feel right, or if it's landing with people you don't relate to, then it's probably not the right fit for you, but you won't know until you play with it.
Right. And I would also add that I think sometimes we think it has to be something really lofty or look like we're changing the world to be a impactful core message.
Yes.
And like, I remember from my painting days when I was painting solely as my creative outlet, and I thought that's what I was going to do, I felt like just bringing, you know, making pretty things wasn't enough. And I think there is a way that that actually is enough. And there's a way we can embrace, like, you know what I do? I bring beauty to the world.
Yes.
And therefore, like, I am uplifting people. Like, you can really create a really powerful story around what you do, but I think sometimes we need a little coaching around it.
Definitely. I love that you bring that up, because so many people are like, well, I'm not, you know, solving world hunger, or, you know, at least, like you said, these big lofty goals, when in fact it's, you know, kind of what I was saying about be uniquely you. It's whatever it is you're meant to do and the gift you bring, that's the thing to fully embrace and know that there's tremendous value in it, and not to discount yourself, for sure.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I saw that one of the exercises was about a billboard. Is this related to the core message?
It is. So one of my favorite movies is L.A. Story. Yeah. So Steve Martin plays this weatherman, and he gets these messages from one of the freeway billboard things, you know, like a freeway sign. And so it was telling – I forget what some of the messages were but basically, if you imagine that you had your own freeway sign, billboard, and you wanted to spread your message to a bunch of people, what would it be? So it's kind of like the core message tattoo idea, but, you know, if you want to think of it as a billboard and maybe do a collage or draw pictures, there's a little play sheet for that. One woman did this, and she was like thinking of New York and all of the, you know, all the billboards in New York. And she, as a web designer, it kind of helped her get clear around, her idea was like cutting through the clutter, you know, and having a, clear visual in her design.
Cool. Oh, I like that exercise. I'm gonna have to think about what my billboard would be.
Cool.
I love it. And, I think one place where, so I coach people often in how to go from a nugget of an idea to creating an e-course and all the sort of technical things around that and growing their idea into a table of contents and all that kind of stuff. We spend a day together doing that. And the place I find people get stuck is, well, two places. So, because these are often really creative people with fantastic ideas, and they don't know how to write a sales page. They're completely lost when it comes to the sales page, which is understandable because I think it's probably the hardest part of the process.
Right.
So I want to talk to you about that. And then also, like, how do you grow an audience? Because often we have these incredible ideas, but we just don't know how to reach people.
Right. Maybe let's start there first, because I think that makes the sales page part a little bit easier. And I think it is hard because, you know, creative types, we have all these ideas and we just want to put it out there. And, but if we don't have the audience yet, then we just get the crickets, you know?
Right. Right.
So I think it happens over time. You know, I think that's the other piece that people see other successful folks who just, you know, launch something and they have like, whatever, six-figure launches. And, you know, we feel bad about ourselves that we don't have that. But oftentimes they've built that community over time. So that's why it's really great to get clear on what your core message is, start sharing it with people so that you start to attract the people who resonate with what you have to share, and slowly build that over time. So, you know, whether it be through social media, through in-person connections, you know, like even some of my clients, like I've been in their circles, like we were in networking groups together years ago, but they didn't hire me until, you know, maybe 6 or 8 years later.
Right.
You know, so just underscoring that things take time. And then, you know, having a newsletter and a blog, I think, are great ways to continue building the relationship over time. You know, like one tweet isn't going to do it. One Instagram picture isn't going to do it. It's being in conversation. And I think that needs to happen first before, you know, you can really put something out there and expect to get, you know, more people to sign up. You know, you may get a handful, but if you're really wanting to you know, make a big splash, having that built-in community is what's going to help you. So focusing on creating those relationships, I think, is really important. And having that core message helps you be the beacon to attract the right people.
Beautiful. Yeah, and also one of the bits of advice I offer people, because there are so many ways to market and so many areas to play in social media, I always tell people, find the place in social media that actually feels fun for you. Otherwise, it's like, it's just, it doesn't come off as genuine. It's a drag. It's a drain on your energy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like blogging, I used to blog and really liked it. And then it became a chore. Like when I had to write the book, I'm like, I have to write the book. Like I can't write a blog post. I have to write the newsletter. Like, blah.
Yeah.
You know? So then now I just focus on the newsletter and that feels good to me, you know, and
yeah.
Kind of let go of, I don't need to be like this blogger person, even though everyone says to blog. It's like, yeah, do exactly what feels good to you.
Yeah. I also like to share with people, you don't need everyone to love you or everyone to sign up for your e-course or your offering.
Right.
You just need to like be exactly who you are and trust that you'll magnetize exactly the right people who want to hear that message from you.
So true. I know. Because we can't please everyone. Actually, if we are, then we're diluting ourselves and probably not really taking a stand for much.
Exactly. And, right. So, right. Exactly. You're sort of diluting who you are. And I think we're, a lot of us are saying the same thing. And that can feel like a barrier, like, well, you know, so-and-so's doing this and that she's doing it better. And it's like, you know what? Somebody out there needs to hear it from you, because the way you share and your voice is resonant for them. There's a lot of somebodies who want to hear it from you.
Definitely. It's so true. It's, some people just need to hear it from just the right person. And you might be that person. So don't, you know, don't let that stop you, for sure.
Exactly. Okay. Sales page.
Yes. So the sales page, I know, the dreaded sales page.
Right. So I'll just say too, the sales page is the page on your website where you're advertising your offering and saying, hey guys, this is what I've got.
Exactly. And with the buy now button.
Right. Exactly.
Or the register now, which some people forget to put, or they put email me and they make it hard.
Oh,
stop. Okay. So one of the things is make it easy for people to buy from you, because you're actually, if you don't, you're kind of preventing them from having this gift that's going to help them. So you can think of the sales page as an invitation to serve them in a better way. So instead of calling it a sales page, I started talking to my community about it being a love letter. And if you were like really excited and passionate about sharing this gift that you know will help somebody, the energy around it changes so much. Like, I have this friend from college, and we like always buy each other just the right gift. It's kind of weird. And sometimes we'll even buy each other like the same thing. Or like, I bought it for myself, and then there's like the letter. Anthropology had these really cool letters made out of books recently. And so I bought, I think, the L because they didn't have the J. And then like for Christmas, she bought me the J. I'm like, great, now I have the full set.
Oh, that's so sweet. My sister and I do that sometimes.
Yeah, it's like just funny. So, you know, like if you think about, gosh, if you know your customer so well and you know exactly what they need or want, how fun is it to give them, you know, the perfect present?
Hmm. And I love that.
I know. Isn't that cool?
That's actually a way I've not thought of this before. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because my friend Julie, you know, she's like, oh, I got your book. I'm like, did you see you're on page, whatever it is, 79? She's like, oh my God, that's great. And she's like, I actually already bought your birthday present, and my birthday's not until August. But you know, it's like we laugh, we're like smiling. It's like so fun to think about like, ooh, I can't wait to give this to Julie, or I can't wait to give this to Andrea. And so like, what if you were to think about, oh my gosh, like I know this e-course, or I know this coaching package, or this necklace is just so going to help this person, and how exciting it is to give it to them in that way. And so when you do the languaging for the love letter from that energy, it just is a joy to do, really. And the other thing is really including the customer's language in it. So I have a client who's a parenting coach. And when I went through this teaching with her, she just had this light bulb moment of like, oh my gosh, like my people are actually telling me exactly what it is they're having challenges with. And she just, I think she had a phone conversation with someone, you know, like the day before. And so she just like remembered all the things the person was saying. Mm-hmm. Wove that into what she was writing in terms of, you know, the struggles parents have, kind of how she could help them. And it just flowed for her in terms of putting together the love letter. And she was able to market it in a way that felt really authentic and like, oh my gosh, I know I'm really helping these people. I'm not shoving my idea down their throat and begging them to buy it. It's saying, here, I know that this is really important to you, and here's how I could help.
Oh, beautiful. And there's a way that you feel seen, I imagine, as a client or a customer.
Totally.
So you're speaking to your desires, and they're speaking to your, I don't like when people use pain points. I don't know if you've heard that,
yeah.
But anyway, speaking to like possibility and what they're wanting for themselves.
Right. Right. I mean, I think it is important if, you know, you want to touch on some of the challenges. And I think, you know, talking about it as pain points definitely can be a turnoff for some folks. But also like painting the picture, like, I know that you're really struggling right now, and here's what it could look like, you know, and helping them get there. And the other thing when you're using their language is you want them to be like, oh my God, that's so me. Like, were you inside my head?
Yes, right, exactly.
Or like, oh, that's not me, but that's totally my friend, or that's my husband, or whatever. And you can easily, you know, identify who this is for.
Mm, love that. Okay, I want to ask you also about this sort of balance of, so when we talk about a right brain business or a creative business, it doesn't mean that there's not left brain tasks that need to happen or left brain skills that aren't useful. So where's that balance?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, we need our whole brains to operate in life and in our businesses. Yes, we do. So the left brain pieces are super important. And those are things like, you know, bringing in the structure, knowing your numbers, having, you know, what I call the smooth sailing systems, like your operations in place. I think for creative types, we think, you know, we're like, oh, we need to have all these things in place, and we get really tight about it. Because we're starting with the left brain stuff first. So I think bringing in the right brain first, having it be fun and creative, and even bringing in the creativity and fun to some of the left brain things can help make that, you know, more manageable and doable. So even in things like launch plans or calendarizing things, I love using visuals. So I have this big wall calendar from Paper Source, and there's a picture of it in the book. you know, that covers my whole wall. It's the whole year. And I have colored sticky notes. And that's how I plan out the year in terms of here are the months where I'm going to have a big launch, or here are some smaller things. Here's where I'm taking time off. But those are all the left brain things you need to think about when you're planning out, you know, your year and where your income's coming from. But you can do it in a fun way. Like, I use markers. There's all sorts of colorful, color-coded stickies on my wall.
Right. Well, and I know those calendars because I've bought them in the past, and they're really beautiful. They're, they look beautiful on a wall. And I think beauty matters to me for sure. And I think it matters to a lot of people.
Yes, me too. So why not make those left brain things beautiful? You know, you can add colorful fonts to your spreadsheets. You can add images. It doesn't have to be boring and dry. Because you want to engage with it. You need to know those things. You need to know the numbers in your business. But you can make it fun.
Awesome. You know, as we're talking, I'm remembering I worked for Sark for many years. Right. She's often an artist. You know her. In fact, I think she blurbed your book.
Right? She did. It was very exciting. Yes.
That's so awesome. Okay. So I had this job with her for like 6 or 7 years, and I considered her my mentor. But what I'm noticing right now is, oh, you know, really what it was is that she had this beautiful, abundant, right brain business. And I got to see firsthand how that worked. And we had like crazy big calendars and marker all over the walls, you know? So yeah, there was a lot of, there was a lot of business happening in the traditional sense, but it looked really different and it felt really different, and it honored the different ways that we think and we express ourselves and we learn and we teach. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that was the most useful thing, was just affirming that that way was okay and I didn't have to do it the way I thought.
Exactly. Because it's sure working for Sark.
It's totally working for her. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And what else do I want to ask you? You know, the other place that I personally have a real barrier is, and maybe it's partly being a heavily right brain creative, but growing my business feels challenging because I always want to feel like things are simple and simple. I don't want my business to feel cumbersome. So do you have anything to say about that?
I think that's great. It sounds like you've got a guiding principle for yourself to keep things simple. I think if you're wanting to grow, like my mentor always says, you know, like repeat what works. You know, if you have a really stable income stream that's working for you, you know, how do you just continue to grow that or maybe expand it? I know you've done that with Mondo Biondo. You've had like different iterations of it, you know, so as a pillar kind of income stream.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, that's totally a way to go. I think sometimes people think like, oh, in order to grow, I need to implement this product. I need to have these new services, and they add too many things into their, you know, portfolio, for lack of a better word. And then it gets really confusing. And again, their energy gets dissipated. It becomes too complex. So growing the business doesn't necessarily mean having to add a bunch of new things. It could be, it could mean increasing your prices. It could mean just getting more sales volume. So maybe you're growing your list somehow, you know, and they're buying the same thing, but just different new people are buying the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is so great. So what I'm getting from this whole conversation, just to kind of summarize for myself, is like there's a way that we can honor exactly who we are, what our strengths are, what our message is, how we like to work, what the rhythm of our workday is even, and still be these awesome, successful business people.
Yes.
Yeah. That's such good news. It's great news you're bringing.
Yay.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. It was super inspiring.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun chatting with you.
Okay, well, say a little bit about your book and when it's coming out and all that good stuff.
Sure. Okay, so the new book is Building Your Business the Right Brain Way, and it's actually available now on Amazon and in bookstores. I saw a picture of it at Powell. Somebody took a picture of it.
Oh, hooray.
Yay. And the website is rightbrainbusinessplan.com. And there's actually some downloads from the book. So there's a lot of fun, colorful play sheets that are in the book that you can also download, print out, and scribble on. And there's a guided visualization that's a bonus that's not in the book, but it definitely supports you getting in touch with your unique gifts. And there's also a video of me walking through the exercise of your entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Cool. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Andrea.